It's now time to think outside the box of what we've always known.
I myself will tend my sheep and have them lie down, declares the sovereign Lord.
I think that's a profound turning point in somebody's relationship with God.
And our hope in starting this was that this would become an ever-expanding conversation.
Just two real guys talking about life. That's a nice tagline.
I'm Wayne Jacobson.
And I'm Brad Cummings.
And welcome to another edition of The God Journey. Well, welcome back to another edition of The God Journey. As I said on the last one, Brad and I are kind of hanging in here for a few in a row since I'm getting ready to travel. And Brad, we've been trying to get together for dinner with your family. It's a very easy thing to do, isn't it?
Not in my house.
Oh, man.
We got baseball.
You talk about
fever.
This relationship stuff.
We got unless you're on our baseball team, we got no time for a relationship with you. But I do relate with the baseball people quite a bit. I got three kids playing ball, and they got games galore.
And they're in championship. They're kind of beyond the extended
They've
seasons.
They've gone into postseason play. It has been absolutely fun, though. They've been some real exciting games. Jared's team made it into the championship, so that's really, really cool. Jonathan, unfortunately, sitting on the bench, he did a skateboard trick and ended up not quite landing the skateboard
trick.
He didn't pass
the last test playing the next step.
He fractured his wrist and elbow.
Yeah, but last time I talked to him, he was hoping to get the doctor's permission to play, but that's not going to happen.
Here's the deal. His team has advanced far enough into postseason play. And something good happened. They actually lost their last game, which sends them into, quote, the loser's bracket. But they can win their way back into the championship because it's double elimination.
Yeah.
And they have gone. There's one game on Saturday. If they win that, Jonathan has the okay to play on Tuesday. And if they win that, then it's back in the championship. So this may work out perfect.
He may actually get to play.
Well,
bless his heart. He's been pretty patient about it. In fact, I was trying to get Brad and Kelly to just spend some time with Kevin and Val when they were here. It's just other than podcasting. And they just keep winning these dadgum baseball games.
Take me out to the ball game.
I think this is a great thing about fellowship. People talk about, I don't have any time for fellowship. Well, Val and Kevin and Sarah and I got some lawn chairs and went out to the ballpark. And
we had a great time in the
sat down
and
watched
stands.
The game with the Cummings. And, I think there's times when you just, you just got to get it however you can get it. So,
yeah.
And I really wanted
it was a thrill for my kids to see that kind of just love and care expressed by you guys and Kevin and Val. So, hey, Kevin, thanks.
Yeah, so we got to watch one of those baseball games, which...
The people get a little loud, huh? The ump that day, he was over the top.
Unbelievable. Yes, you did. No, you didn't. I'm just like, man, these are 8-year-old or 11-year-old, 12-year-old kids. So that was definitely
wild. Take our baseball seriously in this neck of the woods. Jared's team actually has a chance to they have a good run at maybe the World Series thing.
Well, I had a long drive back from the Central Valley yesterday. I ran into two accidents on the way.
Yeah,
back.
You called me. I was in traffic up from OC, and you were in traffic from Bakersfield.
It took me an hour to get through a 5-mile stretch in Bakersfield because of I think I counted 6 cars going. I haven't checked the news yet to see what it was. 6 car pileup, 1 jackknife truck, 5 lanes down to 1 lane.
So did you enjoy your time in the car, Wayne? Did you have a wonderful time of fellowship with Jesus?
You know what? I used times. I actually got on my phone. I talked to my brother Dave not my brother of flesh, but my brother of faith. Dave Aldrich is a good friend of mine back in New England, and I had to call him about some other things anyway. So we actually found out we both have the same cell service, so we're on free minutes. So we talked about an hour and a half. We talked over an hour on the phone. We got cut off a couple times, but just dialed it back. And then I called some other folks, and I was coming back from a group of folks I used to do quite a bit of teaching for, but haven't for quite a while, and saw some old friends that... gosh, I love with a lot. So it was a fun trip. The ride home, because I was running late and I was trying to get home to a thing that night. So it was a little bit, anxiously saying, hope I get through this. Then I got to Santa Clarita, another accident. And there's an SUV that's got dings. I mean, it's just brutal. I was sitting across 2 lanes in the middle of the road and no one around it. So somebody just left it.
You know, I just wonder some of these accidents, like, how did that happen?
Hot car. Yeah, there's got to be
like,
something else damaged.
How did that happen? What went on? I don't think
those people should ever get to drive again. I think if you have an accident that blocks a freeway in Los Angeles, you lose your license because we can't deal with it.
Wow.
That, and when the police stop a guy and he won't get out of the car.
Maybe after a year, things might thin out. That'd be one way to thin the herd.
Not much of a mercy guy. Hey.
But I enjoy my time in the car. I really do.
Well.
For years, in this L.A. traffic thing. Yeah. You can't go anywhere without spending 45 minutes in the car or something like that.
No, there's times when I enjoy it. Not when I'm feeling I'm late to something. I enjoyed that, actually, for the most part. And I've got a podcast thing, a couple podcasts that I listen to. Much better now. We just were stuck with the radio or music. God forbid. Who wants to listen to music round after round after round? So
depending on what it is.
But yes, I know some people do. My wife does, but I'm not in. So what else? Are you guys just doing baseball? What's new around the...
Oh, you know what? It's kind of sad days around our house.
Uh-oh.
Chipper has gone missing. And no, it's coming up on. This will air, weeks later. Hopefully, I can jump in with positive news. But he's been gone for 6 days, and it's just hard.
No, it's not right. I get to make fun of Chipper. I can't make fun of him. His loss, and the kids are here, and my gosh, I feel bad for your kids. I feel bad for all of you.
Well, it is. I mean, it was interesting. Jared kind of had his meltdown the other day and was just in tears and. I mean, this is a cat that they rescued. I mean, the story of Chipper is a fun one for our family. I mean, they found this abandoned little kitty who was drinking out of the toilet. The cool thing about Chipper...
Drinking out of a toilet? That's how we're surviving.
That's how he's surviving. They were on vacation up visiting Kelly's folks, and in this abandoned apartment next to where they were, they found this kitty. And he acts a lot like a dog. So, I mean, that's why I fell in love, because I hate cats. But
No, you fell in love because you were forced to by your child that said you didn't have a relationship with a cat. I remember that story.
Yeah, I did. But you didn't
fall in love with a cat without help.
But thankfully, this cat acts a lot like a dog, so it was easy for me. But it was just interesting. You know, Taylor looked at me the other day, and we're having dinner.
Your young daughter.
Yeah. She had, just her puppy dog eyes, and they started to fill with tears. And she looked at me and says,
Taylor,
Daddy... Did a coyote eat Chipper? Yeah, I mean, she's in tears, and you're just going like...
Yeah, because you've joked about that in the past.
No, we haven't.
Okay, I have.
You have. But...
Sorry, Taylor.
The reality is, we're just embracing this as just... This is what life is about. We had our little discussion of, Jared had he thought the Lord told him that Chipper's gone. And that just broke his heart. That's what he came down the other morning feeling like God had told him that Chipper's gone. Jonathan before Chipper left, had a dream that Chipper had been killed. And then Jared got mad at Jonathan for not sharing the dream because, we could have prayed and headed it off.
We could have all said goodbye.
So I decided to bring some wisdom in the midst of all this. Just go like, you know what? The reality is in moments like these, sure, we get impulses. We think we're hearing from God or whatever. And it's like, the reality is we don't know. And there's no real tangible way to test any of this.
Yep.
So you can't be 100% sure of what impulses are coming. But we can do this until we have some, concrete reality of what did happen to him. We can pray. We can ask. I don't know what God's going to do. I can say, God, you care about this. Are there more important things happening on planet? Sure. Yep. Sure. This is a pet.
Yep.
This is just a cat.
It's just a cat.
It's just a cat.
Barely a pet.
It is a pet.
Okay. Sorry.
The children would basically give full... childhood status to Chipper. I mean, he's that dear to them.
Yeah.
But this is the reality of just how you work through life. And, it's like they're each handling it in their own way. And there's lots of emotions. I mean, Kelly's in tears. I mean, it's like we got posters on every light pole,
Checking the pound.
And everybody knows Chipper. I mean, it's like wherever we're at, it's like, Chipper's gone. So, I mean, we got all of our little neighborhood, Dos Vientos land.
Yep.
They all are aware of Chipper. Yep. And they all love him. And, I mean, it's like a celebrated little cat. And so I don't know if this story is going to end well or not, but it's just part of life. And, what's interesting for me is as I've mused about it, I felt like God has just allowed my brain to kind of end up thinking some stuff, and I don't know if they're related, but I did recognize, we treat Chipper with the freedom of he can come and go. He's a domesticated pet, but we don't control him, whereas if we don't let him out. It's like I saw, Finding Nemo, and I recognized the mistakes of
Dangers
not
of the Wild.
Allowing your child to go someplace, your pet to go someplace.
Yeah.
And the reality is You know, he's been out and stayed out all night, a couple nights before. This is the first time it's been multiple nights, and now it's not looking good because it's six, and you're just going like, I'm not really thinking he's coming back. And the reality is when I ended up praying about this, I didn't get a sense that he was dead. I didn't get a sense that he was being processed through a coyote at the moment.
Okay. That's graphic.
that's
more graphic than we need.
I'm the younger generation.
Processed
Thank you.
Through a coyote.
Yeah, I could say it worse.
Oh, great.
But the reality is I have a buddy that has kind of a little seer prophetic gift. And as we were talking, and I don't know if that's strange for people, but I just asked him, I said, hey, by the way, I have no idea if you can do this, but can you pick up on where my cat's at?
As goofy
as that is.
Like you're psychic, huh?
The truth is the guy's got a pretty developed gift of being able to know stuff.
And, man.
And his first impulse was he thought he was coyote bait. And then his second thing is like, you know what?
Your kids might be listening, but we're not coyote bait talk.
He said, I think someone has him. And the strangest thing is I've sort of felt like, you know what? I think his color's off. I think they don't know who he belongs to. It was out of that, you know, I've been on the, 405 parking lot, driving back from Orange County, so like that. I just thought, life is a little bit like this in terms of the Father's heart towards us. He gives us the freedom to go wherever we want to go. But he is very sad when we go off into the far country. He doesn't stop us. He doesn't control it.
But don't you wish he did sometimes?
You do.
Yeah.
You do, but I just recognize he allows for that. And here's the deal. Say Chipper is, someone with good intentions has found this lost kitty. They don't recognize that he actually knows his way home. He could come home, but now he's perhaps...
Trapped cat.
Stuck in their house, and they're caring for him. And I went, man, the institution's a lot like that.
Uh-oh. You're going to make that analogy.
Yeah, I'm going to make that analogy.
Right here on the God Journey.
A lot of well-intentioned
we're gonna
folks
get more of those
thinking
letters.
They're doing the care job. They actually, in the name of caring for, while not really allowing freedom, but in the guise of control, trying to protect, they may actually hinder relationship with the real home base, with the real father, because they're trying to do that for somebody.
Oh, my gosh.
You think I'm nuts?
Well,
it's relevant. I don't think it was sparked because of Chipper's absence. It was a thought I had.
To be honest, my first thoughts weren't about is this true or relevant, but who's this ticking off? which probably would say a lot about where I'm at today. But I'm thinking, oh boy.
I stepped into it. But
there's a point to be made because I've always said I think, and I don't. Again, we're not. We talk about being outside the box. We're not talking about buildings and groups.
We're talking about
the whole religious obligation trap, which can be in a building as well as outside one. I do think one thing religion does is it takes our best intentions and turns them against us. Because we don't learn to live in the freedom of Father's affection, thus we're trying to contain and protect everything, we actually end up trying to do good for someone, and yet do harm to them. Yeah, I think that happens all the time.
Well, I mean, I've just taken this, and it has been in my conversations with the Lord that I've just sort of felt like my musing over this, missing kitty has, I don't know, it's jogged a lot of thoughts because I just recognize, what's the safest way to sort of help anybody not, quote, get lost by making it so enjoyable to hang out that they don't want to be someplace else. It's the fact that if we don't let Chipper get out, he gets stir crazy. He wants to get loose. And then if he's afraid that we won't let him out regularly, then he wants to stay out longer. And you're just going like the dynamics of going like, unless a relationship is where there is sort of an open hand, What's going to protect that person from not getting lost or running away is the fact that they so enjoy being there. And one of the conversations is when he was only a couple days missing that I had with the kids. I said, now, if Chipper comes back, the first thing I don't want any of you to say to him is, bad kitty, bad kitty. You know, because their response is, yeah, he's a bad kitty. He left. And so they don't want him to go anywhere. And then it's like, we're never going to let him out again. And it's like, that would be a terrible mistake. But that is the impulse that a lot of times we bring, as opposed to celebrating and enjoying freedom.
A lot of our defense mechanisms are that way, isn't it?
They're control mechanisms.
How can we keep this from ever happening again? I mean, I think some of this was really far afield of Chipper, but I think some of the angst of our government over the 9/11 thing was we've got to be right 100% of the time, and the terrorists have to be only right 1% of the time. We are doing things in our culture now to try to make sure it never happens again that is in many ways destroying our culture. I mean, I really do think you cannot protect yourself 100% from bad things happening to you.
Nope.
And if that's the way you want to live every day, and if that's the government you want, eventually you're the one that's going to be taken captive. You're the one that's
by
going to
by your own protective defense mechanism.
By your own fears. Yeah. I was reading something that I thought was, and I think it was Effect Our Own Form. Somebody posted, I think it was something that N.T. Wright said, the most repeated command in the Bible is fear not.
Yeah.
I just think, I've never counted them, but I'm going.
There's like 365.
Really?
Someone did. I mean, whether that's absolutely accurate or not, that'd be one
more
for every day.
More than don't commit adultery. More than,
not.
You know, don't have false gods. Don't be afraid, because whatever you do from fear leads you down a pathway that's destructive. I think that, and I think that's so
profound.
True. I think God winning us to his affection is not about just resolving our fear of him. It's our fear of death. It's our fear of life. It's our fear of being rejected by people. It's whatever fear and all of our coping mechanisms. I mean, there's people that are so afraid of intimacy because they got hurt, that as soon as someone starts getting close to them, they'll sabotage the relationship. They'll push that person away just so they don't have to feel rejection ever again. And that bondage to the fear of rejection is doing exactly what you're saying. It's robbing them of life. With life, there's Kevin's word from a couple weeks ago, risk. Life is risk.
Yeah.
Living in God is about risk. And if you're trying to keep all risk at bay, you have no idea what the
life
is.
It's
like
is. You suck the colors out. I mean, I look at how my kids have so given their heart to this cat. I mean, Jonathan and the cat have gone through some sort of like mind meld. I mean, it's like they are tight. So this is just tearing him apart.
Oh, it's horrible.
And the mistake would be, well, I'm not going to get close to anything or anyone.
Yep.
Because I don't ever want to feel this. And it's
exactly.
Like, but man, it would rob you of life. It's like better to have loved and lost than not loved at all.
That's where? In the scriptures?
It's not. It's just
not.
True.
Oh, okay. It's just true.
I just think it's true.
I think it's true.
And I think you quote this out of C.S. Lewis in He Loves Me, that, you know, if you're going to love deeply, you're going to get hurt badly, but it's worth it.
Yeah.
And I think that's where it's like, you know what?
But our coping mechanisms, they get set when we're kids.
Oh, yeah.
I remember saying that same. My parents called me my first year at college, and my childhood dog had died that morning. They called and let me know. And I remember saying, I will never love another dog again as long as I live. I just won't.
Reacting out of the pain and
your
hurt.
Emotions haven't grown up yet. So you do react in things like that. Hopefully growth takes you beyond that. And to say, it is the joy that dog brought my life is worth the pain even at the end of it. And now, I mean, last dog that we had died, which, I mean, dogs dying in the Jacobson home is like losing kids just about. I mean, the dogs
get
very special treatment here. And I tell you, as soon as the dog died, Sarah and I looked at each other and said, where are we going to look for a puppy? We're going to find another puppy and bring it in here. And yeah, on the one hand, you'd say, gosh, we wish dogs lived as long as humans, so you'd only have one dog your entire life. But the fact is, every dog we've had, we've fallen in love with. And if we'd had our first dog live forever, we would have missed five other dogs that we've had since. So
sure.
It's almost a blessing in knowing that, wow, there's a chance. But does it still hurt? It does. I guess part of the whole risk that we're talking about is just hurt is also a part of life. And if you protect yourself from it, you're also protecting yourself from joy.
Yeah, and I think that's a little bit of how I've been trying to just help the kids kind of dialogue and process it through. It's like, you know what? If they're crying, it's not like, why are you doing that? It's like, That's fine. Of course. What's interesting for me is, I don't know what it is, but I felt like God had just allowed me to understand a little bit of perhaps his heart in some of this, is that, yeah, he's sad when someone's gone away. But I haven't been forlorn, and it's not because I'm disconnected. I mean, right before Chipper left, the last couple of days that I was with him...
You had a great talk with him, right?
You're going to laugh. I guess I'm not going to go there because you're mocking me, but...
I can hear it coming. I can feel it coming.
The truth
Chipper
is,
gave me a prophecy right before she
left. The truth is I've been having a couple of wonderful days with this cat where you're just going like, this is so strange. Because, I mean, most of the time, cats are just totally aloof. They kind of look at humans like, I could care less about you.
Most days.
And, man, it's like, this little guy is just different. And it's been interesting because it's like, I'm sad he's not there. But at the same time, there's a sense of peace that just like, you know what? I don't know the outcome of this, but there's a sense of security. And it's like, I don't know. I sort of felt like this doesn't really relate to the cat, but it does relate to how the Lord looks at us. He is in frantic anxiousness at our departing. There's a security in his love that he kind of goes, I'm bigger than all this. I'm not going to control you because I'm afraid of what will happen. I'm going to love you whether
right.
you're near. I'm going to love you whether you're far. I'm going to look at you like you're a good kitty, not you're a bad kitty for leaving. I'm going to love you. And I've just been touched by that. I don't think it's an emotion I've understood. I think most of the time I'm always looking at it from a different angle of I'm trying to stop people from doing the wrong things. And I just recognize, I don't think God spends much of his energy doing that.
Well, the story of the prodigal, he not only doesn't stop him, he gives him the money to go do it. I mean, there is a sense of God saying, freedom's going to get you, even if you misuse your freedom. And it has a greater potential to get you to the end of yourself and get you home than if I just kept you locked in the yard and you can't go away.
See, I find that extraordinary.
I think it's extraordinary, too.
Has been musings for me where you're just going like,
they didn't teach
Lord.
Us that in Sunday school, did they?
No. It's lock the door. You can't leave.
Can you bar the door?
Yeah.
You can't.
The only time you're getting out of is when your parents come away for you.
I don't want you doing all the stupid things I did when I was a teenager. It's that Katie bar the door kind of mentality that we have about life, and we even have it emotionally. I protect myself from getting hurt. I'm not going to invest myself anywhere because somebody's just going to hurt me or betray me again. And it's
even the impulse, like in parenting, is like somehow I want to protect my kids from making mistakes. And it's like, I think there's perhaps good intentions behind that, but it's like, you know what? As if I could. As if I could stop them from making all... Sometimes that's just the way you're going to learn. You're going to make mistakes. You're going to do wrong choices. You're going to, you know, when their heart runs away from us, it's kind of like, you know what? I'm not going to freak out about this. There's been a settledness through just this little happenstance with our cat that God's been just unveiling a little bit of his heart. And I've just gone like, wow, Lord, I need this. I need you to show me your heart in the midst of this because it's changing the dynamics of how I relate to my own kids. We're just going like, you know, I'm not so anxious about this, that, and the other. Like, you know what? I'm here.
Yeah.
You can make that mistake. I'm still here. And it isn't bad kitty, bad kitty. It's like, you know what? The moment you come back, we're going to throw a party. And I think I've always acted like the elder brother. I've always acted in that design where it's like, well, that's not right. Because I've had more of my own leanings towards that.
Yeah, and a lot of the anger that comes back, and probably not in the elder brother's case, but I think oftentimes with parents, is my fear about what might have happened to you comes out in anger when you come back. It's the guy, Dave Coleman tells this story, the guy helped me write the Jake book about this guy. He's come home from work and his cell phone battery's dead and he has a flat tire and he can't get things worked out and there's no spares not. It takes him 2 hours to get home. His wife's home with dinner on the table, wondering where her husband is, why he hasn't called. And she works herself up in all the fear that he's probably out with another woman and he's cheating on me. And by the time he comes through the door, she's just livid. Man, yeah. Yeah, and he's just like, well, you know, I couldn't call. It's just, you know, the comedy of circumstance, the tragedy of circumstance in this case. And I think that is. I think we do play out our fears in anger. And I'd love that whole thought about don't fear. And it's easier said than done, obviously.
Oh, totally.
I don't think Jesus is just saying, look, buck up and stop being afraid.
Well, I'm sure it's not the most often repeated command or directive in the scriptures on accident.
But, and I think the fix has to be, it's not you're good enough not to be afraid. It means there's more relationship with God that I need so that he overwhelms my fear. So in the face of what I'm dealing with, I'm not afraid, not because the circumstance isn't risky, not because it isn't potentially hurtful, not because it may not turn out the way I want, but because, as you said, I know God is big enough to get me through whatever happens.
Yeah.
Not just, he's only big enough if it works out the way I want. No, he's big enough no matter what. And there's great freedom. I hesitate to tell this story. I kind of want to tell it for another reason, but hearing your chipper tale today, I had a guy in my home last week that just came by for a few hours to want to visit with me, a fellow from Idaho that I've met before. He told me a story when their kids were growing up about a dog they lost. And it was this beloved lab, and it got out of the backyard somehow, and they didn't have it. And the kids were just devastated by it. And one day, a couple weeks later, they're reading in the Bible about, you know, being persistent in prayer and whatever you ask and blah, blah, blah. And the kids are going, is this really true, Dad? Does Jesus really mean whatever you pray for? If you're persistent, you can get it. And he says, well, if you're really convinced it's what God wants, and you try to put some padding around that, but,
yeah,
you know, saying, yes, yeah, what it says. And the kids were saying, well, we want a dog back. And so you're saying if we pray for our dog every day, that God's going to bring our dog back. And he said, he felt like I was in trouble. Dog's been gone 2 weeks. I have no idea where it is. And he said, I just said, you know, are you convinced that that's what Jesus wants? And they said, yeah, we're convinced. And he said, so we as a family started praying. And they prayed for 6 months. And after about 6 months, one of the kids, I don't remember if I get the story exactly, all the details right, but one of the kids was coming back from school to the neighborhood and sees their dog in someone else's backyard through a wire fence. And was sure it was the dog. Came home and said, Dad, I found the dog. And really? So they got in the truck and went back to the house, and there's no dog there. And so I think, what do you mean? So he went up, knocked on the door, and he said, let me ask you, do you have the yellow lab in the backyard? And the guy said, well, you know, matter of fact, we did. My daughter found this dog, rescued it, and she lives 30 miles out of town, but she's off on some trip, and so I had three of her dogs in my backyard for a couple of days. And he said, so when she gets back, you can check. She's still gone. I don't know where the dog was. But they actually found it was their dog, and they got their dog back.
Yeah.
Which is an amazing story. But now, see, I think the reason I want to tell that story is because I know people that go through great trauma, and then somebody will say, well, this is what we did, and it worked for us. And then everybody says, okay, my kid should start praying for 6 months, and Chipper's going to get back.
Right.
And that's not really why I told that story. I told that story because I think it's amazing how God works in situations like this. And they don't all turn out good. This one was just, 6 months of not having their dog, and they got their childhood pet back. And I mean, he was just telling the story. It's a great celebration of God bringing the lost home. And it's a great illustration of that. But it isn't a little plug-in fix that, well, if I pray for 6 months, I'll get my pet back. And I said, I've got a brother dealing with cancer right now who's, I don't be a brother of flesh, but a good, good friend of mine. And I don't know all the details about that with him, but I do know other folks that have suffered with cancer. Everybody says, well, you know, my parent took there, my kid took that or drank that or did that. And it's so many remedy things thrown at you. They're supposed to be cure-alls because they worked for, anecdotally, somebody.
God's not a respecter of persons, so they throw a principle at you.
And I think in the middle of this talking about risk and how God works and how we live in him, I think part of it is, too, you cannot look at someone else's journey and say, mine gets to look like that, too. And you dare not pass on what worked for you as a technique for someone else to use that it might work for them.
Absolutely. And when I was trying to help the kids make sense of what they thought they were hearing, I didn't say what you're hearing is wrong. I just said, look at our potential for bias here.
Yep.
And here's the deal. Let's ask God to talk to us about our cat and Chipper. And if all of us get this resounding sense that, you know, it's over, there's nothing for us to do, then let's be settled and at peace with that. Let's be thankful for the time that we had, and let's look with anticipation and hope to the future of, all right, Lord, well, what's next?
And hopefully it's a dog.
If that's the case.
And hopefully it's a dog.
Thank you. I said, but until we have that kind of settled in our heart, if there's something that we can do, then let's be about doing it. And so they put up pictures, visited the animal shelters. And that was a healing thing in and of itself because they recognized, oh, we're not alone in this.
That's right.
And then, you know, I mean, it's like their heart went all of a sudden, you know, we nearly got 12 pets that day.
Yeah, that's okay. The danger there.
You know, but even in this whole dynamic, it's like, you know what? Don't give up the search if there's the sense in your heart to continue in that search. I think out of fear of I don't want to live with the pain or the unresolvedness, I think in situations in life, we do sometimes punt when perhaps we should persist.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't do that on principle because they persisted and they got what they got. I think
exactly.
I think it's a total error to take just principles. Like, this person was healed for cancer. Therefore, cancer is an enemy and healing is everyone's right. And, you know, and you're just like, you know what? That isn't my experience in God that he just wholesale applies a principle. It seems like I got to bring each and every circumstance in front of him and say, Father, in this situation, what are you doing?
Yeah,
help me understand how I should agree with you and your plans and purposes in any of this.
And we've said that. I think it's one of the main themes of our conversations all the time is once you decide to embrace a principle, you really are denying a person. You really are denying.
Yeah, you've supplanted him.
This journey is not about finding a little rule to make it work. It's about living alongside the God of the universe and bringing everything. I think it's great that this, I mean, the whole cat thing has taken on a life of its own in your family these days. I mean, that need. And yet in the big expanse of the world, we look at what's happening in Darfur or Iraq.
Yeah,
or,
it's like,
you know,
hello, this is a cat.
This is a cat. And yet it is what your family is dealing with. And God's in that with us. To think that God only cares about the big ticket items. Now,
yeah.
Somebody a while back mocked the fact that there was some movie with some team praying to win the state championship in football. That might be a bit different. But, you know, I think the things that cause us pain, the places where our kids grow up, I think these are important places where God wants to make himself known. And that's where I think our kids learn to walk with him at times like that, not so much because they went to a Bible study lesson on David and Goliath, but because
absolutely
God's
not
walking through this kind of situation.
This is
with
their world, and God loves them. Therefore, these things are important to God, too.
Yep.
It's not as if God's up there like, well, I'm making my list of what's more important. You know, I think that the amazing thing about the bigness of God is I don't think he's having to pick and choose about what he considers important.
Yeah.
It's like, you know what? In Taylor, our six-year-old little life.
This is huge.
Polly Pockets and Chipper are the deal.
Yeah.
And losing a Polly Pocket and Chipper, they might have different equations in her heart, but in that moment, that finding that missing piece to her toy is just as important. And as a parent, I would make a mistake if I'm sitting up there trying to make evaluations as opposed to just crawling in her world and sharing it with her. And I think that's where God's at. If this is a big deal in my life, it's a big deal in God's life with me. He's going to crawl into my life and walk me through life.
Thanks for traveling with us today on The God Journey. If you'd like to join the conversation, we'd appreciate your comments or your questions by email or at our website, thegodjourney.com. Stop by today and join the conversation.